You're listening to the weekly podcast of City Church Orlando, located just off of 1792 at 650 Airport Boulevard in Sanford, Florida. Our website, orlandocitychurch.com. Today, Lead Pastor Eugene Smith will continue with our series called 50 Days to Fitness. Today, we are talking about getting into shape, not just physical shape, but how to get into spiritual shape. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Our scripture text comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 8. Today's message is entitled, Seven Pillars, Getting in Shape.
We've been on a journey together, haven't we? What have we been doing for the last several weeks? 50 days to fitness. We've been getting physically fit, but we've also been talking about how do we get spiritually fit. Anybody remember the very first week what we talked about? Water. Water is? Oh, well, before you got that. Water is? Life. Jesus said, I am the water. I am the life that's come into the world. And if you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. The second week we talked about sleep, getting proper rest, right? Anybody remember last week? Food. Yeah, about four. That's how long your attention span is. We talked about food, eating properly. Anybody change anything that you ate this week because of in your small group or anybody? All right. Okay. I did. Our small group, we had an incredible night this last Friday night, and we talked about what we're going to be talking about today. We talked about physical fitness. And it was one of the cool things that happened in our group is we were talking about it, and we were doing some little exercises to the video, you know, and not too tough, man. We were like doing one of these right here. We weren't doing the what do you call that, yoga. We weren't doing yogi. We were just doing this thing, you know. We weren't doing yogi. We were doing this. And we get a phone call, and one of the people in our small group who had brought her niece a couple of months ago to the group, her niece had a baby, and the baby passed away in the hospital this last week. And it was just like, whoa. I mean, so we're having this great time in our group. It just kind of stopped everybody. And we just stopped and we just prayed. We just prayed right then. I mean, it was just one of those moments. And I thought, you know, that would not have happened. We wouldn't have had that opportunity to minister to that woman right then. Matter of fact, she probably would have come to church and we never would have found out about it unless she put it on a card. And most people just come in, they carry their stuff. And it just showed me the importance of every person here being part of a group. And we still have groups that you can be part of. We're going to do another series after this called One Month to Live. And it'll impact your life. And you can invite friends. We'll continue our small groups. But this morning, we're talking about how we get in shape. Not just physical shape, but we're going to talk about how we get in spiritual shape. How do we strengthen that core of our inner being that gives us the strength and the endurance to finish the race. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. And the Bible says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. So, listen, you hear that? Physical training has some value. In the first two services, we heard from Doug White's course, who just finished the Miami Marathon. And he's 43 years of age. He ran 26.2 miles. Guys, most of the guys over 40 here, if we run to the stop sign and back, we'd be completely out of breath. That dude ran 26.2 miles, and he finished the race. And he talked about how he did it, and how you prepare, and he was just a normal guy, but we talked about the benefits of it. It was really, really powerful. Physical exercise has benefit to your natural body. Now, this is the only body you're going to get. Now, you can go to the doctor and get it cut and sewed and twisted and poofed and puffed and lots of things they can do to it to try to make you look better, but this is the one shot you got. That's why God says we're to take care of it. He actually calls this vessel a temple. Everyone say, I am a temple. You know, a temple, just a building. Yeah, you are a place. And you know who lives in you? The moment you come to Christ, God lives in you. You're God's temple. You're the place that He dwells. He lives. He ain't inside this building. Now, we felt His presence in worship. How many of you felt the presence of God in worship this morning? Wasn't that incredible? I was like, wow, that's God's here. He's conquered. The cross has brought victory to our life. Physical exercise gives strength. Lots of benefits to physical exercise. You got them right there in your notes. It improves your mood, combats chronic disease, manages your weight, boosts your energy level, promotes sleep, better health. All these kinds of things can put a spark back into your romantic life. If you're married, can be fun. There's a lot of benefits to it. In this service, I want to introduce to you a guy that's been, he's got an incredible testimony. And he's been working out. We're going to find out how long he's been working out. But he's really serious and intentional about taking care of his body. And so I want you to welcome to the City Church stage, Michael Waldron this morning. Can we do that this morning? Can you give Michael a big hand? All right, Michael. We should have had you like wear your little suit so you can see, man. You can look at this guy, man. He's got some arms, man. His arms are as big as my leg. Michael, why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of what kind of exercise do you do?
Do a lot of lifting weights, a lot of running, cardiovascular, treadmills. Been doing it for 20 years.
20 years. So you've been doing it probably since high school?
Since high school. In fact, in my ninth grade year, I was 170 pounds, 4'9". I was a ball. In my senior year, I just started losing the weight, did Slim Fast, lost a bunch of weight, 30 pounds, started working out. And ever since then, it's just, I can't stop. It's just become part of who I am.
So it's part of who you are. So you, but you made a choice when you were in ninth grade, made a choice that I'm going to work out.
Right.
Exercise my body. Mm-hmm. And you probably started learning about foods even some and started, we had lunch a couple months ago and you didn't eat the fries. We're Five Guys. Have you been to Five Guys before? Like a burger and a what at Five Guys? You get like, you know, when they give you a bag. Anybody been to Five Guys? You get like a big bag of, those are good. No, man, not this dude. He's disciplined. Now you've had some challenges, though, physically, haven't you, in your life?
Yeah, I struggle with what's called Crohn's disease.
Tell us about that.
It's basically like an ulceration in your intestinal area. And I was actually in the hospital this last week for 2 or 3 days, and I've dealt with it. I've had multiple surgeries. So that's kind of put limitations on me over the years as far as what I could and couldn't do.
Okay, and so tell us, and how do you feel you're working out and being consistent in this area has helped you even fighting this disease?
It's a big help because a lot of people who deal with this, it's debilitating. It just breaks you down. A lot of people are, you know, they're anemic, they're small, they can't, you know, their health is really weak. And so I've just had to fight through it. I mean, in fact, I got out of the hospital Wednesday. I was at the gym an hour later just because I'm so committed to doing that. I just can't stand that, you know, not having to exercise, but it helps. It helps combat diseases, helps combat mind, and there's so many other things that it just really helps.
Osteoporosis, high blood pressure,
cholesterol level, huge.
Heart rate. Mm-hmm. I mean, just on a consistent basis of having a regime of working out and being self-disciplined in this area has lots of benefits, doesn't it?
It's got tons of benefits. I mean, and it's funny because we're doing the 50 days of fitness, and just the majority of people don't exercise. I mean, we just really don't. I tend to forget about it because I used to work at a gym. I sold memberships, and it's just my passion. But most people don't. We don't realize how it affects our heart, our mind. I mean, after you get...
Talk to us about the mind. Talk to us about how it affects the way you think.
Just after you exercise, whether you run or you walk or you're lifting weights or whatever it is you're doing, your mind is invigorated. You get filled with endorphins and your hormones. Everything speeds up. Your mind thinks clearer. Your memory is better. Your confidence is better. Everything, it just works together.
So you get your anaerobic up. You started to breathe, and you get your anabolic, you get your heart going, and get your mm-hmm. muscles, and that oxygen starts flowing through your blood, and you feel better.
Yeah, and here's one of the things, too, is it affects your, and I mean, just honestly, it affects my spiritual life, because dealing with the disease, it's easy to get down, and we can't be effective for God if we're laden down with something, if we got a disease or something that's high blood pressure or anything we're facing. So it allows you to work through that and be effective for God.
Okay.
It'd be very
awesome. Hey, thanks. Let's give Mike a great big hand. Bless you, man. Well, I went down to see him in the hospital this week. I mean, the guy was like setting up, he was ready to go. He's like, there. I said, dude, you only been here a day. If you know anything about Crohn's disease, it's very debilitating. We prayed over him. We're believing God to bring total healing in his body. But Mike is walking in divine health. He is walking in divine health because he's making right choices. Now, Paul said physical exercise is of some value, but godliness is of value for what? Can you put that verse back up there for me, guys? Godliness has value for all things. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How do we get in spiritual shape? We know. Everyone here knows that we have a responsibility. No one's going to make us do it. There's lots of challenges not to do it, but we can. We can make right choices because we have God's Spirit and God's power in us. Even people that don't know God can make right choices. God's given you the incredible ability to choose. Now, two women started off January 1st, 2010, and both women had the goal. You know, they heard, they got motivated. They were watching Oprah and Dr. Oz was on and talking about the benefits of taking care of themselves. Or, you know, they watched the latest. What do they do, Pilates now? I don't even know what Pilates is, but I know it used to be Tai Bo. Now it's, what's that? All right, Pilates. See, I can't even get the name right. All right, they're doing Pilates, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and they're both, you know, and they got all fired up, and so they went. And so one lady, she got all fired up. She immediately ran down. She signed up to the gym. She went to Sports Authority. She got herself the equipment, and then she got herself the treads, you know. She got the outfit so that when she looked at the gym, she could just look real cute, you know, and she just looked the part. The other lady said, you know what, I'm going to do some studying. I'm going to do some reading. I'm going to get some knowledge. And so she began to read about it. She began to read about the right kind of foods to eat. She began to read about the muscle groups that she needed to work on. She began to get knowledge about her body and get knowledge about the right kinds of exercises that would be good for her. 1 month later, the lady that went out and she was all fired up and motivated, well, she got busy at work and things got difficult and hard. And next thing you know, I mean, the gym, you know, well, I can work out at the house, but then she gets home and the kids are crying and she's got all these challenges or whatever. We're busy and we're tired, we're exhausted, and she didn't do it. What happened? See, one lady got the right information and made a decision. The other lady is waiting for the summer to come because when June comes around, all the garage sales happen in the neighborhood and she's got some stuff that's going to be sitting right out there in front. She's going to wait 2011. Come on, 2011. I'll do it in 2011. There'll be a new plan. There'll be a new way. No. See, one person makes a choice. She makes a decision. The other person, she makes a decision based on emotion and it didn't stick. And that's just the difference. One is knowledge. One's emotion. It's like sizzle. You know, there's a term in sales that says, the salespeople say, sell the sizzle, sell the sizzle. Well, when someone starts to sell you the sizzle, don't buy the sizzle. You want to see the steak. Show me the what? Meat. Yeah, show me the meat. Show me the meat. Show me the money. Now, we're spiritual beings. We're created in the image of God. We're created with great purpose. Our lives are significant. They have great meaning to God. But every person who's going to strengthen their spiritual life, you're going to have to make some decisions. You're going to have to settle some things. The first thing that you have to do is you have to make seeking God's kingdom your number one priority. It's got to be your number one priority. Number one. It's got to be it. Now, this is way easier said than done. I begin to think about this. I begin to really think about what does it mean to make the kingdom of God my number one priority. This week, my wife came to me. We're on the way home, and she said, hey, I found this book that I had in Bible college. And she breaks the book out, and she's going through it. And there was a verse that she had written in school on the inside of this book. It was called Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, was the name of the book. And inside of the book, it had a little scripture that she had written on there. And it was this verse right here, Luke chapter 12, verse 30 and 31 in the Living Bible translation. And it says, all mankind scratches for its daily bread. Now, this is the challenge. You see, there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God. Everyone say kingdom. And the word kingdom just simply means the rule of God or the authority of God. We sing about his authority. I tried to sing that song second service, got the bridge all messed up, got all twisted up. But when the choir was up here, I'm the best singer in the house when the praise team was up here, you know? I mean, I'm singing myself right into the presence of God. But we declared his authority. That's the kingdom. That's literally what the word means. There's two kingdoms. There's God's kingdom and the world's kingdom. Now, every once in a while, the world's kingdom crosses with God's kingdom because it benefits them. Years ago, I worked for a very wealthy man, and he had, you know, all these kind of theories about life and stuff, and he would always want to argue with me. He was a lot older than me. He was a very wealthy man, but he always want to argue with me about Christianity. Why doesn't, you know, only blah, blah, blah. All these arguments I always want to have, and I just stand my ground. One day he came to me and he said, hey, I learned this new management principle, this new leadership principle called servant leadership. Servant. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, you know, where the boss is supposed to come alongside and serve the people that work for him to help make him better employees. Oh, I said, really? Jesus said, unless you become a servant of all, you can't have any place in his kingdom. How about that one? See, Jesus was the greatest leader that ever lived. He taught the greatest leadership principles. Every once in a while, the world discovers this. Hey, that's pretty cool. That actually works. It actually works. All mankind scratches for a daily bread, but your heavenly Father knows your needs. You see, we have all these kinds of things we want to know. We want to know, you know, who we're single. We want to know who we're going to marry when we're growing up. We want to know what kind of job we're going to have. We want to know where we're going to live. We want to know all these things. So we ask all these questions. And then we start to look for things to make us happy. Well, if this person comes into my life, then I'll really be happy. Or if I just get this much money, then I'll be really happy. Or if my church just gets this big, I'll be really happy. If my ministry does this, I'll be really happy. And so we're on this continual pursuit of trying to find this thing that's someplace out there to make us happy, to bring fulfillment, to bring peace. Jesus said it like this: all mankind scratches for its daily bread. You're in a rat race. You go to work, same time, so boom, 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 boom. I mean, you do all these things and they become very familiar to you. And you're part of the process. You're just living life. But listen, Jesus says this: he will always give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. You make his kingdom, his purposes, his plans. Now, and I ask myself, what does that mean? Well, you know what that means to every person that makes the kingdom of God their number one priority? It means that they surrender. Well, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. There are people that have been Christians for years that haven't fully surrendered. They've still got a part of their life they're trying to control. They still got an area of their life that they haven't fully given to the Lord. And everything in your life, everything that happens in your life, all the stuff that takes place in your life is God bringing you closer to him and his kingdom. No matter how you understand that, no matter the challenges that come your way, it's all about making his purposes your primary concern. It's the focus of your life. And people that make God the focus of their life, you know what they do? They do some really cool things. They worship God with other Christians. They study the Bible together. They learn the Bible. They get up in the morning. They get up in the morning so they can read the Bible, so they can know more about God. They so believe in the mission that they put their money there. They so believe in the power of impacting, seeing change happen in others. They live a blessed and generous life. I mean, and the people that really make the kingdom of God their primary concern, you know what else happens? They just got to tell somebody. Glenn used this illustration in the youth group a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about, you know, if you won a lottery, you won $1 million, man, you would tell somebody. You would scream and shout, and you would tell somebody because you would have good news. You got the greatest news on the planet. Jesus lived, died, rose from the dead, and he came to give his life for you. Come on, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. You know, he's giving you a roadmap. You spend time with him. You engage in things that look spiritual. But these things are really all about knowing him, about a personal relationship with him. Paul says, to know him. That was Paul's one desire, to know him. It's all about knowing him. That's honesty of heart that's fully surrendered. We call that communion. It's powerful. It's knowing that God is with us. So we become seekers. We become seekers after God to know his way and his will. And I love this verse. It's found in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy says this: from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. The second thing that has to happen in your life is you got to give yourself a heart check. You got to give yourself a heart check. Now, this is, you know, when you go to the doctor, they put that little thing, and you know, you get like a creepy feeling when they put that thing on your arm. They go, anybody else like feel like, oh, I want to pass out? Like they're like doing it. I'm like, ah, oh, that's weird. I don't like that. Well, they put, what are they checking? Your blood pressure, which is directly related to your, how many, boom, 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 boom. You know, and they put their finger, and I don't even like it when they do that. I don't even like to feel my heart. You know, she got her finger on the wrist, and you're like, oh, weird. I don't like it. But she's checking your heart. Well, see how well is your heart beating? You got to check your heart. Now, for a Christian, for a person that knows God, to check their heart, it has to do with motives. So, and, you know, sometimes it's a daily thing, but I find that many times I got to deal with this often throughout the day. I got to check my motives. Why did I say that? Why did I treat her that way? You know, what's really going on inside of me? Why am I thinking that way? See, sometimes I have a problem that I can't fix, and I get really, really frustrated with it. And what I'm really, I don't know, I'm 46, and I'm just like figuring this out. I'm really figuring, well, if I can't fix the problem, then I got to change the way that I think about it. You know what I mean? I got to look at it differently. And then when I do that, it just alleviates all the pressure. Well, I'm not going to fix that one, so I'm just going to think differently about it. I've checked my heart. You got to check your heart. Paul the Apostle said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, examine yourself. Now, if you don't want to examine yourself when you're married, just ask your wife to do it for you. Oh, come on. Somebody laugh. Examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. To see if your faith is really genuine. Are you the real deal? Are you the real person? Are you like one person at church and another person at work? Are you, you know, one person at church and sometimes at work and church we're pretty close, but sometimes we get home, we're like, oh, that'll all hang out. We become completely different people. Are we the same? No, we do really let our hair down. Your family knows exactly who you are. But is your faith genuine? Does it make a difference in your daily decisions? Test yourself. Paul says, if you test yourself, if you judge yourself, God won't have to judge you. If you cannot tell that Jesus Christ is among you, it means you failed the test. In other words, if people can't tell that you're a follower of Christ, you failed. So you got to check your heart. What do people think? You know, when you begin to look inside, what's going on inside of there? And sometimes we look inside, we're not liking what we see. Well, we can make a change. We can make a change, but we got to check our heart. We got to examine our own heart. Now, Jesus used this illustration, and I have this Matthew chapter 4 there, but Jesus used an illustration about the heart in relationship to the kingdom of God in relationship to seed, the seed that a farmer would sow, and soil. And he says it like this. Jesus says it like this. Farmer goes out to, it's very interesting because this parable is told in three different gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three tell this story. All tell basically the same account of the same story. Why did that happen? It was actually this story that Jesus uses to explain why he told parables. Because people outside could never get it. You know, people that don't know God, and your friends and people that you care about, they don't have a relationship with God, they don't really know him, they just don't get it. And so Jesus would tell these stories, and it's very interesting, he would tell these stories, it would make no sense to them, but then he'd pull them aside and begin to explain to them. And he said, okay, guys, the farmer goes out and he throws the seed, and when he begins to scatter the seed, the first kind of soil that it falls upon, don't put that one up yet. No, you're breaking my rhythm here. The first kind of soil that it falls upon is hard soil. I mean, it's hard. And that seed falls and bam, it just hits. And the Bible says immediately that Satan comes and just steals that seed away. Now, there are people in the world that hear the gospel and they just reject it. They blog and they write, and you know, you're a bunch of idiots and all that kind of stuff. But you know, those people, they're always going to be there. There's always been scoffers and haters of God. But those aren't the people that are as concerning to Jesus. Now, God loves them, has a wonderful plan for their life. He'll continue to work on them and offer mercy and grace. But there's a person that will sit in a church week after week after week after week. They will hear and they will know. And something in them just rejects it. They'll walk out of here and they'll just reject it. I don't believe that part. I don't, you know, whatever. And so they continue to live and do the same things. Their hearts are hard. And that's a scary place to be, really scary place. Now, there's another kind of person, Jesus says, that they have like stony or rocky soil. And these are the kind of people, and you know, there's no one here quite like that, but these are the kind of people that come into church, and man, you had that worship. I mean, we had the worship experience of our life today. Power of God was there. People were being touched. And it was incredible, and you're so excited, and that was so awesome, and last Sunday night's vision banquet, that was incredible. And by the way, if you missed last Sunday night's vision banquet, you missed it. You missed God in this place because, man, the team just did a knockout job and everyone did their part. It was just an incredible night. And we left this place literally on our feet shouting, yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can see God's purposes come to the city. It was an incredible night. But then we had to wake up on Monday. You know, we had to get up on Monday and go and live it. That's where the rubber meets the road. So Jesus said, this seed hits the ground. All of a sudden, bam, something happens. A little persecution, a little irritation, a little trial. It's hard. Problem happens. We don't understand that. Why God? We don't understand why this problem happens. And bam, Satan steals our joy. Seed's gone. Now there's a third kind of soil, and I think a lot of Christians find themselves between 3 and 4. This is where kind of like, you know, true confessions here. This is kind of where I find myself, 3 and 4. I love God. I go to church. I'm doing my job. You know, I'm supposed to do this because I'm a pastor, but I got struggles just like you guys do. I got temptations and challenges and, you know, things that want to pull me away and distractions just like everybody else. And so you're going after God, but then all of a sudden, you know, this maybe potential career advancement over here or you know, this relationship over here, this form of entertainment over here. All of a sudden, you know, you're going after God, but Jesus actually uses these words. He actually says that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth. So all of a sudden, people start pursuing the American dream. This is a big one. People start pursuing the American dream by American dream terms, philosophy, and lifestyle. Gets them all goofed up. Whew, it's thorny. Now, God wants you to succeed. God wants your business to succeed. God wants your marriage to succeed. God wants you to have enough money to pay your bills. God wants you to have enough money left over so you can support missions. You can have a good life. That's all good. But the motive begins to get twisted. And you know what? That's some heart check between you and God. That's really getting alone with God and having a heart check. And all of a sudden, boom, thorny soil. And the deceitfulness of wealth, the world stuff, gets you sidetracked. And the seed has no effect. So your tree will start to grow, but you'll have this really weak, anemic, you've been feeding it with the cheese sauce from Tostitos and Doritos, and you've been feeding your body, and you don't feel well sometimes, and you don't look. I mean, and spiritually, that's what happens. Spiritually, it's exactly what happens to your life. Little power, little presence, little reality. It's, you know, you just get caught up, and then God. This is, you know, the amazing thing about God. This is how awesome and how great God is. He loves you so much. Psalms 23 says that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down beside green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He has a rod and a staff. You're like, well, what's that rod and staff about? You see, the rod and the staff represent the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and you his sheep. And when God's sheep get out of line sometimes, he has to use the rod. Now, I know you can't believe that this morning, but the fact is sometimes so many of the problems that we have in life are decisions that we've made. Not all of them, but some of them are decisions that we've made. And God loves you so much. Now, here's a cool thing about God. A shepherd, a good shepherd, if you know anything about sheep, good shepherd would never beat a sheep. As a matter of fact, a good man would never beat any animal. A good man would never beat, I don't care what you think, you have any right to do with an animal whatever you want, that's stupid. The Bible says that we are to treat every living thing with respect. Clear, a good man will treat an animal with respect. You beat your animal, you're dumb. You have no concept of God and his goodness, at least in that area. Now, the shepherd, though, will use a rod to prod, to move them along. And, you know, I don't know about you, you know, but in my family, I had 2 kids. My one son, he needed the rod just a few more times than the other son. It's like the younger son watched the older son and said, I don't think I want to do that one. And so he just made a few different decisions. So he got the rod. Girls tend, not always, but girls tend to like follow the rules better. And guys like me tend to have a harder time with them. So I tend to get the rod more than my wife got the rod. Now, but he has this rod, and it's the rod of correction, and it brings us into the right place. And God uses this to get our hearts right, to get us back to him. But he also has a staff. And you know what a staff is? A staff just lovely comes around the sheep and just brings them back in, brings you back into alignment. So he's got two tools there to help you keep in the right path, help you keep on the kingdom, help pursue and seek after him. Now, the third thing that I want you to see this morning, the third thing that I want you to see about this whole thing, about this getting your heart right, is you got to keep the right attitude. You got to keep the right attitude. Your attitude will determine your success in every area of your life. Right mindset. We've called this year destined to win in 2010. Because I just believe that. I believe that people this year are going to experience God. They're going to experience breakthrough. I just believe. I believe it for myself personally. I'm already on the trail. There's already things that are happening in my life that I put in motion about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I made some personal decisions about my life, and I can already sense it. One of them is just to take care of my body. I just made a decision to really be conscious about what I eat, and I got my little pedometer on here, and I got a goal to get 10,000 steps a day, and I've hit it almost, you know, yesterday I got 7,600, but 2 days ago I got 15,000 every day. My goal, I got a little goal here. I made some choices. And my attitude is I can do it. I can do it. Doug ran 26. Now, if I could run, you know, my goal is a 5K. You know what a 5K is? 5K is like 2.6 miles. And if I could actually run, if I could walk 2.6 miles, I'd be happy. But if I could run 2.6 miles, man, that's a goal. And so I'm on my, I see this. I see it before me. I see a prize before me to accomplish something, to do something. It's a change. I have an attitude. I know I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can change. Your life can change. Paul the Apostle said it like this. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self. There are some choices that you're going to have to make. You're going to have to get up from the television, from watching TV, or from get out from behind a computer. I mean, there's some choices that you'll have to make regarding putting off the old way of life, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. But look at the next verse. But to be made in the new, to be new in the attitude of your minds. Battle won and lost every person and everything in every area. Marriage, money, relationships, physical, spiritual. Every area of your life is won and lost right here. Right here. It's right. It's just right here between. You are your worst enemy. I'm my worst. We have a devil. He hates us. That's true. But he's limited. And really, the best way we can beat the devil is just to run from him. It's just to run. You're feeling tempted on the computer. The best thing you can do is shut the computer off and run away. Come on. You don't flirt around with temptation. The Bible says we are to flee temptation. We are to run from temptation. I was really hungry. I opened up the cabinet. And so after our little exercise, you know, water, sleep, last week food, man, you know, so now I'm like, look, is it live food or dead food? So I open up our cabinet and everything's dead food. I'm like, dang, this is hard. This is hard. Come on, this is hard. This ain't easy. This ain't to make these choices. We have to make some personal choices. But the fact is, God's Spirit and God's power is in me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Someone said, amen. So we have an attitude that determines our success, which leads us to such an important, crucial area, this area of passionate prayer that releases the power and the presence of God. You know, Bill Bright years ago used to talk about spiritual breathing. And there's this communion that God wants to have with you. Prayer is not something complicated. It's not hard. It's talking to God. But in most of our lives, we have to move from prayer being a prayer of always desperation. And there are times of desperation. There are times, God, I can't do this. It's impossible. You're crying out. But prayer becomes a form of your life, a way of breathing. God's in your conscience. And there's a lot of people that will read their Bible in the morning, and they'll say a little prayer blessing over their family, maybe. And they'll get out the day, and they'll just live without really having a God conscience. Without really talking to the Lord. It happens all the time. It's all of us sometimes. We all do it. There's times, the other day I read my little Bible reading for the day, you know, because I'm reading the Bible through. Anybody here beside me reading the Richard Roberts, the Bible plan that we're doing this year? Oh, we got a few of you. You can still get it. It's in the bulletin every week. We're trying to help you. But we're moving along, man. And we're like these incredible stories in Exodus and then read the Psalms and the New Testament, Jesus healing all kinds of people. And I read my whole Bible reading for the day, and I couldn't remember one thing that I read. Anybody ever do that before? Oh, come on. I'm like, okay, let's go back and redo a redo on that. What happened? My mind was thinking about other things. See, we get busy, and we run into the day. God, where, you know? And all of a sudden, we were like, wow, But the Holy Spirit, His grace is so amazing. His grace is so incredible. His love, He just keeps reaching out to you. He keeps speaking to you. All of a sudden, there'd be something, Boy, God, I got to get along with the Lord. I got to spend time with the Lord. The illustration that I use is found in James chapter 5. It's one of these incredible men of the Bible. But the Bible says he had a nature just like yours. He had weaknesses just like you do. It said, Elijah, a man with a nature just like yours, when he prayed, things happened. When Elijah prayed, fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. When Elijah prayed, a woman's son who had died came to life. Elijah, when he prayed, a little cup of meal, a little bit of oil began to multiply. Elijah had great miracles in his life. But he was also a man just like you. And a little old queenie woman said she's going to cut his head off. Wow, God, why is it so hard? Oh, God, and he runs and he's hiding. He just got through killing 400 guys with his bare hands. And now he's over here crying, God, I want to die. God, I just want to die. Come on, you prayed that prayer, oh, God, here it's so hard. God all of a sudden begins to rock his world, begins to speak to him and says, listen, God begins to shake things in his life. There's a giant earthquake, and there's no God. And then there's the fire, there's no God. Then God brings him over to a mountain and begins to speak to him. That's all right, Elijah. I'm with you. I haven't forgotten about you. Begins to speak to him and whisper. And then he feeds him. Some raven fly in and give him some food. God takes care of his needs. You know, many times after you've had a great victory, the next thing you have a great low. The temptation. Last Sunday night, great, incredible. One of the most incredible nights in our church. Just unity in this church. It was incredible. Whew. The temptation for me was to go. And I had to resist it. I had to resist that. I had to get up on Monday morning, come back in the office, and go for God again. I had to get my Bible out. Because the temptation is to press through. Pray. We seek the Lord. February 20th, 5:30, we're having a night of mega prayer and mega praise. And we're just going to go for God as a church. I'm inviting everyone to come to the party. It's going to be a one-hour incredible party. And you know, I said, God, I was praying last night for this church. And I said, God, I'm praying for men. I want men who will stand up and understand that if the kingdom of God is going to come at City Church, then things got to change. I got to change. I got to become a man of prayer. I got to strengthen my spiritual core. Yeah, it's great to take care of the outer man, but if the spiritual man is weak and anemic, we won't bust through a paper bag. As I begin to pray for men, God, shake the men of City Church. God, wake them up. I want some warriors. Give me just 300. 300 of Gideon's men slew an army of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. We don't need a lot. We just need a few men that'll get on fire for God and begin to believe that God wants to bring his kingdom to this city. Someone said amen. Come on. Women ought to be shouting me down right now. Where are the men? Let's pray, men. Let's go for God. Women, let's pray. They pray personally, but there also is corporate prayer, times of spiritual breakthrough. Elijah believed in the power of prayer so much that when he prayed, it would not rain. It did not rain for 3.5 years. And when he prayed for it to rain, it rained. That's the power of prayer. See, Elijah expected good things from God. Good things. What do you expect from God today? What do you expect from God? See, he had a strong expectation of the benefits of God. What do you believe God can do? What limitations have you placed on God? How big is God in your world? How big is he? Is he big enough to solve all your problems? Is he big enough to turn someone's life around? How big is he? God wants to know that he is good. God wants to know all this stuff that's happened in your life has brought you to this point so that you can believe that he is good. Psalms says it like this: blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. He daily loads us. And sometimes daily we're stuck with, why God? Why did this happen? Why God? How come? And, you know, and the problem with all those whys is that generally, if we don't get an answer, we might not get an answer that we want to hear. See, it's all about God bringing us into position with Him. Bringing us into right position. Psalms chapter 103, it's literally one of my favorite psalms in all the Bible. David understood. He understood the benefits of God. He said, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, all your sin, all your mistakes, all your shortcomings. He forgave what you did yesterday. Forgive what you did last night. The moment you say, God, forgive me, you open up your heart to receive His amazing, radical grace. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. We don't deserve it. But He says, listen, I want to do it. I'm slow to anger. I love you. Don't forget my benefits. Yeah, I know that past was hard. I know that challenge, it doesn't make sense to you. I know that it wasn't even fair. You didn't deserve that. But I tell you, I got some benefits for you. The benefits to forgive you of all your iniquities. And the God who heals all of your diseases. 2 weeks ago, a man came into my office. The doctor said, it looks like you got prostate cancer. I don't know about you, man. You know, and he didn't. The sound of that, I mean, immediately fear came into his life. And he called me, and they want to come up. They want prayer. And I said, come on up. I've been reading my Bible, man. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to pray. I called David in, and the guy comes in and sitting there, and we're talking. And I just said, it's not that complicated. It's not that hard. It's just not that difficult. And I took a little anointing. James 5:16, we just read the verse. And I anointed, right? Not a lot of shundai or nothing. Just laid and asked God to heal him. Now listen. You know, the sad thing is he had to call me. I would have liked to have him call one of you, but that's all right. I'm supposed to do that word prayer. That's my job. That's good. And he came. He called on Friday, this last week, Thursday or Friday. I don't remember what day it was, but he called this week. Got the report back from the doctors. He's totally clean. No disease. No, come on, no prostate cancer. Totally whole. Well, that's just a coincidence. Listen, the doctors thought it was a big enough deal that they wanted to stick a little thing in places that they shouldn't go. No disease. Who heals all of your diseases, redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Everyone say good things. God has good things in store. Come on, God has good things in store. For me, God has good things in store for you. He has good things in store. His benefits are incredible. Why would you trade serving God for anything else? Why would you? You know what happens? You take your eyes off the prize. You lose sight of the goal. That's what happens. And we start looking at the problem. I heard a woman this week tell the story. She said, when I was 9 years old, my father began to sexually molest me. So for 8 years of my life, she goes, I had to literally leave my house and get married. And even then, he was twisted up and broken. She said, 8 years of my life. I got saved. Right after I got saved is when all this started. It was a nightmare of my life. And I had all these years of, why God? Why me? How come? All this hurt. All this pain. I was listening to the story. And she said, you know, I never got really good answer. I never really quite understood. Except for today, at my place of life, God has totally healed me. God has totally restored me. God has used this life, my life, this girl who was broken, this girl who had all kinds of issues. God's used me, and I've literally helped thousands of women who've had a similar experience overcome and to realize they could live a different life. You see, things happen in your life, but you've got to expect no matter what happens, God is bringing you to a place of total dependency on Him, because God has good in store for you, because He loves you, and He wants that love to flow through you to fulfill His purpose to touch others.
Thanks for listening to this message, Seven Pillars, Getting in Shape, with Lead Pastor Eugene Smith. For service times and more information about City Church Orlando, please visit our website anytime at orlandocitychurch.com or call 407-321-9600.